This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
A little bit of bad, a little bit of good, Josh. We'll get to the bad later, but first let's start with the good. I have to sing the praises of the Always Cheating listenership. We had the best Always Cheating meetup at our de facto headquarters. Unofficial headquarters, the Black Horse pub.
They still don't know that we talk about them on the podcast, that we get no cuts on drinks.
We're actually, I started dropping clues now. I left a few Always Cheating buttons on the table where we were sitting at the Black Horse.
If we were business majors, we would have just walked up to the owners at some point and been like, hey, we come here all the time to talk about you in this podcast. We like have meetups constantly.
Instead, some of the busboys and cooks in the back are trying to read what does this mean? Why always cheating? They're like going to the website.
Group of men who get together who are cheating on their wives. Like what's going on here? Exactly.
But we had a fantastic meetup. We all the way from Barbados. Jamal Rice, currently ranked 34 overall in the world. It was fantastic to meet Jamal. Also, James Parker, all the way from London, hailing from Wimbledon, a place where you have been, Josh.
We had a long talk about it.
And too long for my taste. and Danny Bean and our good friend Trevor Ingerson all met up, and we had a blast watching the relatively mundane fixtures on Saturday.
Yeah, we ended up having kind of an accidental pure watch on the late fixture, which was Chelsea Swansea kind of a dud of a game, you know, 1-0 early goal by Chelsea, just kind of play. It was like an early season game, really, in a way. It was like they got this goal and they held on and played great defense. And it was
from
like,
Fabregas, no less. I mean, it was. Yeah. I mean, I guess a Hazard assist does make a blip on the FPL radar, but Fabregas, not at all.
And the way that game shook out with Christensen not playing and Willian not playing. Morata coming on for 1 point late. It just really hurt a lot of. So it was like one of those games where it's good, I guess, because I don't have any of those players. Yeah. But it was hard to get too excited about it. There were some like, we're in some like head to head playoffs since there was like, we were kind of rooting for some Swansea goals for certain things to happen. But that was basically it. I wanted a generic Swansea player who like maybe wasn't Elfie Mawson to score a goal. That was pretty
Right. That was the juice that we had in the game. Danny Bean, a friend of the cheaters, and he was there at the meetup. He is legendary on our Patreon only Slack channel for months ago. He placed a bet that Elfie Mawson scored the one and only goal in whatever Premier League fixture. I can't remember what the fixture was.
Yeah.
I think Danny put like £2 on this bet. He ended up winning.
300 to 1. Yep.
Yeah. So what, he got £600?
£600.
Incredible. So Danny didn't go 100. He didn't go double or nothing on this one, but he did place, I think, another 2 or 3 pounds for Mawson to be the only scorer. And so that was completely sucked out of the room within once Fabregas scored.
So it was a good meetup. I was a little bummed out because Zaha, I was actually playing Danny in our head-to-head playoffs for our personal private league. And Zaha went off, and Milivojevic had a chance to claw some points back and hands the penalty off to Benteke, a man who has no confidence. It's really, it was like he talked about it later, and he was like, well, what's the worst that could happen? He was like, he really didn't want to take the penalty. So that made me feel kind of bad for him, and it was a nice gesture by Milivojevic. So. Or however you say his last name. Good Lord, please don't add us on Twitter. So, good meetup.
Another reminder to everyone, if you come to New York, come to our headquarters at Black Horse Pub. It's always a great time. They take good care of us. We have more thanks to give, though, Josh.
That's true. Quick thanks to last week's podcast for FPL General for being on the pod. It was very nice pod. We got a lot of great feedback, and I feel like we picked up a lot of new just followers as well, people who follow us on Twitter. We also picked up some new Patreon supporters. I think part of that is because we did a little, once the podcast was done, we did a Q&A with the general, and we posted that as an exclusive on our Patreon page. And I thought it was a pretty good interview. I know a lot of people liked it who listened to it. But just a quick thank you to Nick Costello, David Sigband, Dominic Summers, Stephen Coppola, forgot Juan's last name, and Patty Brown, who all became new Patreon pledgers this week. So thanks to all you guys. And
thank you.
Brandon, we teased this on last week's podcast.
Yes.
But quickly, let's talk about our Patreon-exclusive World Cup game.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So there is still a huge double game week for FPL to come. Lots of FPL to talk about. But World Cup is nigh, and Josh and I will be podcasting for the World Cup. But if you come to our Patreon page, we'll have exclusive World Cup content, exclusive World Cup pods, and other stuff, and for Patreon subscribers only, a special World Cup game. Instead of looking at the players, like every single individual player in the World Cup game, we're trying to devise a simplified game in which we look just at the teams, the countries that are playing. So based on the FIFA rankings of all the countries present at the World Cup, we're going to assign them a point value based on that FIFA ranking. We're going to divvy up all these teams into four pots. So that's 8 teams in each pots. These pots have nothing to do with how the World Cup groups actually shake out, but more to do with their FIFA rankings. And then if you're participating, just pick 2 teams from each pot, so that's 8 teams total, and then you root for your teams to win. It's as simple as that.
Yes, and there'll be extra points for the elimination games, extra points for picking the team that wins it all. But the point is you're going to pick teams at the top of the rung and at the bottom of the rung, so that, you know, and there'll be some you know, like, so some of the creativity will be in picking the lower ranked teams that might actually have a chance to even pick up a point for a draw or possibly even a win later on. I mean, we all remember that Switzerland beat Spain in 2010 when they played in their group stage. So, it's gonna be a lot of fun. We're gonna write all this out and make it all nice and easy to follow. But the point is, exclusive game for our Patreon supporters. Visit patreon.com/alwayscheating and sign up, I guess, before the first match of the World Cup. Maybe give us like a day, maybe 2 days before the start of the World Cup.
We need to give your information to our secretary to just enter you into this elaborate spreadsheet that we're gonna have to build.
Exactly. So, all right. So that's enough of the Patreon and other non-fantasy stuff, FPL stuff. So Gaming 36 in the books. Brandon, I'm scared to ask you this, but how was your week? How did you do?
This is the bad news that I promised at the very start of the podcast. Terrible week. I finished on 31 points. So I am probably at the bottom zone of game week 32 wild carders. And I was faced with a decision going into game week 36. What do I do with my team that has all of these fail sons from my game week 32 wild card? We're talking about Pascal Gross, Riyad Mahrez. I do remember that penalty, Pascal. Mm-hmm. I will not forget. Ashley Barnes.
Mustafi.
I had, Mustafi, yeah, who I sat second on my bench. I had no City coverage, and I had no Spurs coverage apart from Heung-Min Son. So going into this game week, I was forced, I came to a decision point. There were so many missing pieces. No Harry Kane, no Raheem Sterling, no Gabriel Jesus. These are all players that we talked about last week going into 36 as must-haves. I still believed that, and I knew I would have to still target these guys in game week 37. Was I going to burn points going into game week 36? And if I was, on who? So Man City rotation was of interest to me. Also, points get spread around in City. Do I want to burn four to get Sterling and Jesus in? Also, Harry Kane would be the top target. I was going to have to burn points to get Harry Kane in. My front two, big front two, Aubameyang and Lukaku, I just said, you know what? I'm going to flout the template.
Conventional logic, yep.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I guess this is really what we should discuss, Josh, is conventional logic is one thing, and following the herd or following the template is another thing. Yeah. You can convince yourself that the template is conventional logic. That's what a lot of people tend to complain about, and I don't disagree with this, at the midpoint of the season. This isn't any fun. We're just following the consensus and picking all those picks, and you're going to miss out on other more creative points. What the choice I had to make in 36 was...
When did I turn into you and you turn into me? Like, what is this like sudden change that took place? This is like a Freaky Friday overall, situation.
Overall rank, that's what's changed. but I'm not saying.
I'm not trying to put you on the cross here. I was just curious. Yeah. I mean, you didn't make any transfers, and I really thought. I mean, you talked on the podcast last week about how you might burn 4 or 8 or. And I mean, the Lukaku thing was kind of bad luck. I actually thought that Man United would be, it was definitely bad luck. I mean, obviously he got injured in the 50th minute. But I did think that Man United would at least put, I mean, I guess they ultimately put two past Arsenal. I thought it'd be more like 3 or 4. And maybe he gets something, if he stays in the match longer. He does have a double game week coming up. So you can justify a lot of these. The one I probably would have dropped Mahrez for. Either Sané or Sterling, though.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And it was wishful thinking that Mahrez was going to magically pick up his form against Palace. And, I mean, a 5-0 rout. Who could have predicted that? But still, a lot of people could predict a blank from Mahrez because he's not shown it since I brought him in on my 32 wildcard. So a lot of wishful thinking, and I think I'm making it difficult for myself going into game week 37. The point at which I knew it was all over was with 10 minutes into the Arsenal-Manchester United game. I think I had convinced myself not making any transfers going with Aubameyang and Lukaku. Hey, you know what? Maybe it could be like a 3-2 crazy match. It's Wenger's last game at Old Trafford. 10 minutes into that game, I was like, oh, right. This game is going exactly as one could predict from modern memory. Manchester United can't really attack. Arsenal doesn't have a plan. It was lucky that game saw 3 goals. It was a really dire game week for me. How about you?
Yeah, well, I've certainly been there myself. I had a pretty good game week in the end. I finished on 60 points. I did burn 4. I dropped Theo Walcott, who of course picked up an assist after I dropped him, but that's okay. I dropped Walcott for Kennedy, and I turned Aubameyang into Kane. And so I think that was a net -4 ultimately. They ended up on the same number of points. It was 8 points either way. So I'm on a -4 there. But I really wanted Kane for the double. So I just see that as I'm willing to take that 4-point hit for the long-term, return of having Kane in my squad. So, but other than that, it was the players that came through were the players that it was Sterling and Jesus, and obviously I got a goal from Kane. the solid thing was super frustrating, obviously. I mean, you know, missing a, you know, clear goal scoring opportunity in the first 8 minutes of that match. And it was one of those things you just, you somehow knew that was going to like define the match in a way. You just knew that somehow, like, yeah, they weren't going to get a million chances after that. That was going to be like, it was like the magic was suddenly gone or something. It was like that, it's like that scene in Saving Private Ryan where the sniper, you know, has been like hitting everything and then
he knows
suddenly
he's dead.
Yeah, then suddenly he misses that shot by a little bit and like he gets killed a minute later. You know the scene I'm talking about.
We've made a lot of references to Saving Private Ryan over the years. That was by far the darkest.
Every scene in that movie has come up. It's like 80 scenes in that movie. Some of them have all come up.
Hey, remember when Paul Giamatti just pops up randomly?
It's a great moment.
That's like when Fellaini gets subbed on.
Leighton Baines picking up 12 points for me was awesome because when I actually picked up Baines and it was a bit of a disaster at first. I picked up 2 points, 1 point. I had him on my bench when he got a clean sheet in the Liverpool Everton 0-0. Swansea got 2 points, and then I picked up 20 in the last two from him. I got 8 last week and 12 away to Huddersfield, and now it looks like I'm just going to ride him out throughout the rest of the season.
Ride him, boy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're home to Southampton in game week 37. I mean, I'm not going to burn 4 points to drop Baines for that game, even with Southampton have a lot to play for. And away to West Ham in game week 38. I mean, that could be a total on the beach game for both teams. You know, not a lot to play for there. So 60 points total. I'm feeling, you know, reasonably set up for the double game week. I feel like I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I've got 9 players right now with double game with fixtures, with double game week fixtures. I'm probably going to burn 4 and I have at least 11. Mm-hmm. And then probably going to bench boost as well. So, yeah. In terms of what those moves are going to be, I think we'll get into that more in a minute on the podcast as we start talking about bench boost and triple captain options and transfers and all that stuff. So, an interesting game week, a fairly low scoring game week, I think, in the end, probably mostly because the Liverpool just didn't do anything in that home match to Stoke. I mean, that's one of those games only in hindsight does that seem predictable, yeah. You know, a 0-0. I mean, given everything, you know, they played a pretty close to a full squad. Firmino did not look like he was ready to play the full 90. It just was not his best performance.
Yeah, I think this game week will be remembered. It'll be kind of divisive in terms of if you wildcarded around game week 32, 33, how quickly were you able to transition out of that wild card into Man City ownership? I was living high on the hog with my bench boost and my free hit in 34 and 35, and it really all came home to roost. And I see a lot of people in the top 10,000 who couldn't break 40 because they tried similar tricks to like ride Mahrez out for one more week, and it just wasn't meant to be.
I mean, the number one overall in the world, Boom Xhakalaka, picked up 39 points on the game week and had actually burned 4 points as well. So he got 3 zeros across his back line.
I wonder,
with Chilwell, Christensen, and Morgan.
Based on all of this, I do wonder, and based on how it shook out with that double and people really needing to bring in a bunch of Man City players based on the 4-1 and 5-0 results, I'd be interested to see data on, will going into game week 37 be the most transfer hits taken in any game week in FPL history?
I know. I mean, to me, like a -4 is almost a given that I'm going to take this week. I mean, a -8, I wouldn't even like raise my eyebrows. -12. Okay, now you're getting now I'm starting to sweat a little bit. -16. That's more your territory, Brandon. I'm not going -16. Would you consider a -16 this game week?
I've definitely tinkered with a -16. I've messed around with a -16. I don't want to talk about it, but
we have a question. I'll bump the question up, but not just because we like his Twitter feed. But Andy, Let's Talk FPL says, for those that wildcarded in game week 32, that's you, Brandon, and likely have a lot of Deadwood, that's you, Brandon. Mahrez, Vardy, Willian, Alonso, just teasing, but Mahrez, Vardy,
it's the
Vardy, Willian.
The legendary Travis song, Driftwood. Your Driftwood. that's Mahrez.
That's a great record. The whole record, top to bottom, is fantastic. Vardy, William, Alonso, Morgan, name a few, is a big points hit viable to get ready for game week 37. I'm talking -12 or -16.
I love getting this question from Andy because anyone who listens to the Scoutcast know that Andy is a huge proponent of points hits. And, I tend to be a more conservative manager, but this is it. Game week 37 is a very big double. We have lots of teams firing. Man City and Spurs in particular have great fixtures for the double. It's all or nothing here. And I think we have a great question coming up from Jeff Petter about what are our goals. Think about what your goals are. And I'm guessing this is the time, this is the game week in which our goals will be achieved. So I think points are big points hits are ready to go here.
But those, I mean, those points, you know, the points hits do, I mean, those, you know, it's, God, I don't know when you turned into the aggressive one, and I'm the one, like, pledging a more conservative approach here, but, I mean, those points
overall,
hits do.
Overall rank, dog. That's what happens.
I guess you're right. Is that what it is? You just want to hold on to what you've got. Oh, my God, I just, like, explained the conservative, like, philosophy.
Yeah, consolidation. So there, listen, not to scattershot this talking point, but there are managers out there that are consolidating, and then there are managers out there who need to make a big final push.
Right. But, you know, obviously it requires, you're right. I mean, it's kind of like, you're right. You're sort of throwing yourself off the cliff, you know, and maybe it works out, you know, and maybe it doesn't. But if it doesn't work out, then it didn't really matter anyway.
Sure. Right? Well, because, I did exactly that this past week. I scored 31 points on throwing myself off the cliff by not making any transfers.
Right.
And I thought, you know, it was on a whim that maybe the results magically went my way. But I think now we're the shoe's on the other foot.
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I think anything more than a minus eight, you should really think about who you're dropping. I mean, it's tricky. I mean, someone like Mahrez, you probably have to drop because of the, we're going to actually get, the first thing we're going to do in a second here is our on the beach rankings, because I think it's, when you're thinking about transfers, it's really important to think about who just is on a team that doesn't care anymore. You know, but someone like, Alonso to me, is he deadwood or is it just, or is he a kind of a differential now too? He's so expensive, which is frustrating, but he does have, you know, two pretty decent fixtures over the double. So, it sort of depends on, I'd be reluctant to burn four on a player with a double game week, with the exception of a Mahrez type player, like someone who's just so off form. I mean, right. You know, Marcus Alonso has been threatening, even, you know, whether it's players' legs or the goal, you know, he's very, very aggressive.
Yeah. Well, here I am. I have 11
he'll
players.
Stomp on your team the way he stomped on. Who did he stomp on again? I actually forgot who it was. Oh, it was Shane Long, of course.
Shane Long, yeah. He stomps on himself, more or less. I have 11 double game weekers. I mean, I guess I only have 10 because two of them are two goalkeepers, and I don't have a bench boost, so I can't play both. I have 10 double game weekers, and Mahrez I'm considering burning points to get him out for another double game weeker. So I think the stakes are high enough in 37, and we have more questions, I think, in our lightning round about what to do in your various mini leagues, depending on your strategy. You know, there is some deadwood out there that have doubles that need to get moved into somebody who can actually score points. Mahrez on the double, worth -4 to get Sterling on the double. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So, Jeff Petter does say, what are your realistic end of season goals, be it overall rank, winning particular mini leagues or head to head leagues, etc. You and I just both got bumped from our head to head leagues. I ran headlong into a Harry Kane triple captain buzzsaw today that knocked me out. But
yeah, that's the funny thing about the playoffs, right, is a triple captain on Harry Kane might be seen as a bit of a miss this week. But if you're looking at an elimination head-to-head like we're in, and in game week 36, you lose your out and you're gone. And you could have beat Danny in the long run because he sort of quote-unquote wasted his triple captain on Kane, but you're gone.
You know, he got picked up a goal at least, you know. I mean, another person in our mini league did a triple captain on Mo Salah, you know.
Right.
And that was something I at least kicked around as an idea. I mean, I'd really be, you know, I mean, what makes me feel good is I have two chips left. I have the triple captain and the all-out attack chip. So in terms of overall rank, I've clawed back, you know, a lot of what I, you know, dropped before. I mean, I'm at 79K, which is, pretty reasonable place to be at this point in the season, especially, you know, going into the double and game week 38 with two chips in hand.
Yeah, don't listen to all these sexy managers out there who think it's top 10K or bust. Let's be realistic here.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't like, I'm not obsessed with overall rank in general anyway. It's just not something that, I mean, it's like a, I think we talked about this before. It's like a nice measure of like overall strength, you know, and obviously if I was doing as well as like the general was, you know, and I was like playing for the top 500 or top 200 or whatever, like yeah. I would be, you know, that would be like, that would be my focus for sure. That also probably means you're like 100 points ahead in your own mini league, right?
Sure, that's done and dusted at this point.
Right. But, you know, for me, I you know, it's like I have like an outside chance of possibly finishing second in our personal league. Our personal league is pretty competitive. And then I got
the top half couple, anyway.
The top half. Yeah, we got some ghost ship teams. So, you know, that's, I guess my goal is those because I could win some actual money in those. So,
yeah,
that's kind of where I am.
Yeah, my soft target is I haven't finished outside the top 75K in the last five or six seasons we've played. So that I don't want to, I'm at 114K right now. I slipped back from 74K with this terrible game week score. So I just want to maintain that steady overall rank. And that's nothing to write home about, I understand. Like, and nobody brags about being top 75K. But it's a personal, like, bare minimum that I want to be able to hit. If I were to have a goal sitting 114K right now, heading into game week 37, it would be top 50K.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm just because I've got those two chips. I guess the top 25K would be my like dream shot. I'm not even sure if that's realistic, but
yeah, no, it totally is. I mean, I would have had my sights set on top 25K from last week when I was 74K. Yeah, I think
that's a bummer.
I think on a well played chip at the, just one well played triple captain. Jamal Rice was talking about this at our meetup on Saturday, and he's still fighting for it, ranked 34 overall in the world, and he was saying just if he hits that triple captain just right, then he can really make a push higher up the ranking.
This is the time though to really open things up if you're sitting outside the money spots in your mini leagues or you know trying to crack the top 10K or 5K or whatever. So all right, Brandon, we should get into more of the podcast here. Let's run through the Hail Cheaters Super League top 10 real quick. You've gone in and actually added some added the overall ranks for our top 10. So why don't you just read them off that way by overall rank as you go up?
Yes, impressive stats here from the Always Cheating Super League. Starting at 10th place, Jay Loggerwood, overall rank 427 in the world. Ninth place, it's Nick Tudhope, overall rank 397. Eighth place, Jordan Pierce, 312 overall in the world. Seventh place, Stevie Sunshine, 226th. Sixth place in the Super League, it's Aaron Matheson, overall rank 178. Fifth place, Joe Stone, overall in the world 108. And in fourth place, moving into the top 100 in the world, Joshua, Graham McDonald is ranked 72 in the world. Third place, Adrian Fake Revdahl, 66 overall in the world. In second place, it's Jamal Rice, 34 overall rank. And in first place in the Always Cheating Super League, it's Prakar Patel, 25 in the world.
Yep, it's pretty tight there between Jamal and Prakar. Only 5 points separate those two. In nine spots overall in the world, which is pretty remarkable. Brandon, let's take a break. Let's get back and let's figure out who's on the beach, who our triple captain should be, who our point should be burned for, and so on.
I'm guessing my triple captain should not be on one of those teams that's on the beach. Is that a spoiler? Maybe.
No, I don't think so. Same old podcast, always cheating. Brandon, we're back. Before we get any further, the World Cup is coming. Did you know this, Brandon? Are you aware that the World Cup is coming in 2018? Is this news to you?
I read the paper. I know.
You read the paper. Okay, great. You know, a lot of people think that just because the United States has not made the World Cup that there's no excitement here about the World Cup. And they would be mostly correct, to be totally fair.
It's not like Fox Sports has gone from sending like 250 employees to Russia to now they're sending a three full-time broadcasters and two interns to cover this
event. Yeah, that's like pretty much what's happening, which is very, very depressing. But listen, I'm excited about the World Cup. We live in New York City. New York City has got to be the greatest city in North America to watch the World Cup. Actually, no, that's not true. I forgot about every city in Mexico. But let's say in the United States, New York City is arguably the best place. But just because it's such a melting pot, you have people from all over the world. You and I actually both moved to New York in, was it what, 2006, right?
Well, we moved here in 2005 in preparation for how glorious the World Cup was going to be in 2006.
We wanted to get our feet wet before the World Cup started. But it was an amazing, it's such an incredible experience to you know, all the different cities and people from various countries, you know, celebrating. This is a very long preamble to tell you that this summer, Starting 11 is running World Cup Daily Fantasy. It's a great, if you don't want to do a full league experience, but you still want to get that juice, that excitement of playing Daily Fantasy, or just playing Fantasy,
yeah.
Starting 11 is where you want to be. Starting 11.io, Daily Fantasy app. If you want to get your feet wet in the lead up to the World Cup, you should challenge Brent and I. We're available on Starting 11, the final two game weeks of the season. And you and I actually both played several matches this weekend, did we not?
Yeah, we did. It's been a while since we actually played each other, Josh. So in a week in which I'm staring down the barrel of a well below average game week score, it felt good to have Starting 11 happening on Saturday and making some live in-game substitutions. I think I brought in Ki Sun Young in this one, yeah. In the Chelsea.
We were substituting left and right in that Chelsea game.
Yeah, it was kind of it was such a crapshoot. Like, do you bring in Ki? Do you bring in Tom Carroll? And I managed to edge you out there. And Andy Goodland actually challenged both of us, always cheating doubleheader. And I managed to beat Andy, but Andy, you know, it just wasn't your Saturday for Starting 11, Josh.
No, it wasn't. I went 0-3. I lost to you. I lost to Andy. I lost to Gibran Chata as well. So I was very sad.
Yes, yeah. So you know, it's just fun, particularly with us having the meetup at Black Horse. We're hanging out. We've got our Starting 11 apps open. We're talking about which in-game substitutions we're going to make as the game unfolds on the TV. It was a lot of fun and a good distraction when. Like for me, as I said, FPL is not going your way. You can play Starting 11 for cash in the UK, in Canada, and in certain states in the United States. So just download the app today for your iOS or Android phone. Go to Starting 11, that's starting11.io for more information, or just go to your iOS or Android app store today.
Brandon, game week 37 is here. I can't believe there's only two game weeks left, and this is the biggest. This is the big one, right? And game week 37 is, you know, it's like, you know, it's the climax. You know, game week 38 is the denouement. Things are often usually decided. We already typically know which teams are going down, although that might not be the case this year. But you know, one thing I was thinking about, there was a question that we got from FPL Joe who said, "What clubs would you flag as on the beach and therefore have players we should avoid?" It's pretty important to kind of identify. On the beach is one of those cliched terms like park the bus, which the more you hear it, the more you want to like pull your hair out, and just because like you just never want to hear it again the rest of your life. Yep. But, you know, basically which teams are just have nothing to play for, right? They're not going down. Yeah. They're not going to be playing in Europe next year. You know, maybe the biggest thing that could happen is that they might roll out some younger players or something like that, you know, but there's just really nothing for them to play for. So. You said that you've created a little bit of a little ranking system.
Yeah, I have a ranking system. And because, as you say, on the beach is a bit of a cliche at this point, I decided to create a unique on the beach term for every mid-table side going into game week 37. So I'm starting at Everton and I'm going all the way down to Brighton. So
let's just say beforehand. So Man City, Man United, Liverpool, Spurs, Chelsea, even Arsenal to a degree. Not on the beach. No, right? Have something to play for.
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal is perhaps on a jetty somewhere. It's hard to understand where they are mentally, but it's not really on the beach. It seems to be raining wherever they are.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So, and at the bottom, obviously, are the relegated teams, the teams that are in danger. Those teams are not on the beach
either. Yeah. I stopped at Brighton with 37 points on the board. You'd think that'd be enough. And West Ham, I have plenty to say about West Ham after their very abstract performance against Manchester City over the weekend. But so Everton, I've classified as life has no meaning. They seem to play like a team of a bunch of nihilists. Leicester,
yeah, they've won 8 from 12, weirdly. Like, they're now they're playing well. I don't really get that.
It is a strange one. Leicester City, they're not on the beach. They're just busily flipping through old scrapbooks. This seems like a team where they've got a bunch of players who they kind of peaked when they won the league a couple seasons ago. Now it's just all for the memories.
Yep.
Newcastle, I feel like that's a team full of guys who are just saying, please don't send me to the military academy. There are guys that just sort of like lucked into a successful Premier League side after a really successful championship campaign.
Yeah, losing two matches in 6 days, they were both 1-0 defeats, right?
Yeah.
They're absolutely toothless.
Yeah.
And I almost trusted Jose Perez. Like, I almost brought him in my team, and I would have been kicking myself right now.
Yeah. Crystal Palace, they're making up for lost time. They're not necessarily on the beach, so they're one that I would flag that might be worth investing in. I mean, Zaha, Milivojevic, all star players, except for when I brought in Zaha, my free hit. Bournemouth, these guys are too cool for school. Bournemouth players say, hey, guys, want to meet up at the quarry after the last day of school? They don't care. They've been they've done that. They're going to see you next season.
Dazed and confused for that,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
50-yard line party.
Totally. You know?
Yep.
Bournemouth is the dazed and confused club. Watford is, what day is it? And also, Josh, they don't know what day it is. And Josh, you recently saw Infinity Wars.
I did. Yep. War. No
F. Infinity War. my belief is that Doctor Strange actually conjured about 20 extra league points for Watford out of thin air. We were talking about this before we started recording.
Use the time stone. Yep. Exactly.
And then Brighton, they're not on the beach. They're just out here apologizing to all their Premier League fans. Sorry, we're not very good. We swear we deserve this.
Yeah, I mean, it's not been fun for Brighton. It's amazing that they're, like, probably safe. I mean, they have 3 draws and 2 losses. I mean, it's almost more interesting if you just lose most of those games. You know, just all those draws, just these toothless 0-0 draws.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I guess from there on down, you've got teams that have a lot to play for, right? My prediction, by the way, is that Huddersfield is one of the 3 teams that goes down.
Yeah, I could see that based on this weekend's performances from Southampton. In particular, it looks like they could conceivably spin that win into some momentum. Yeah, I do fear for Huddersfield.
Yeah.
They have a
is that the worst double game week of all time? Away to Man City and away to Chelsea in game week 37.
Yeah, it's true. Going into 38, they could easily be in the bottom 3. I mean, do you think Stoke City could overtake Huddersfield going into the final day of the season?
I think so. Although the team that I think survives is probably Southampton. I think that I think Southampton pick up enough points. I mean, they're only 3 back of Huddersfield. You know, their fixtures are a little. I mean, Huddersfield, and then they play Arsenal. Huddersfield game 38. Southampton have some reasonable fixtures. Stoke, to me, they're just too far down. I mean,
yeah, it's true. You know, they only have 2 games left. They don't have a double, so they would have to win in 37 and 38 just to overtake Huddersfield.
Yeah, exactly. And Stoke play, they play Crystal Palace at home and Swansea away. I mean, those are not the most difficult fixtures in the world. So it just do you look at that Stoke team and see a team that's going to pick up 6 points from anybody? You know, there's just nothing.
You got to show me Jeff Cameron on the pitch if you want any hope of winning.
I don't want Stoke to go down, but it's just like it's like Fulham, you know, it's like Fulham needed to like come down and like rebuild themselves a little bit. You know, they need to like that team is young and exciting now. And I feel like Fulham, like Stoke is just playing Peter Crouch too much, man. Like a team that's playing that much Peter Crouch is just not a team that is like doing a lot of long term planning. You know,
I don't want to argue this, but I do want to state for the record that I am offended by you comparing Stoke City to Fulham. So just. Watch yourself. Tread carefully there.
Do you remember when Fulham went down? They were like 20. Like they like the season they got relegated. They scored like 18.
Yeah, but they got relegated playing champagne football. They had Berbatov. They had Abdel Tarap. That
a
came
37 year old Berbatov. All right, the Delta Raft.
Well, I'm not saying it was good champagne, but it was like the cheapest like sparkling wine you could possibly buy. But they certainly weren't playing Charlie Adam and Peter Crouch.
All right. Well, I hope this has been useful for you guys.
This is great FPL content.
On the beach rankings. So basically, of those teams in that middle tier, I would probably, you know, Leicester is an obvious candidate for like just a team you want to avoid. Newcastle, Watford, you know, Arsenal, I probably want to avoid just because of all the messiness there, although maybe a little different once they lose to Atletico Madrid on Thursday. I mean, you know, they might win, but I'm such a depressive Arsenal fan, but them conceding that goal late in the Europa League was just killed me.
Yeah, it was an omen.
Yeah, it just depressed the hell out of me. Just like in that classic, like, of course, like the ball ricochets off Koscielny's face into the path of into what's his
Griezmann.
Name? Griezmann, yeah. And then Everton is a team that I would probably avoid from an attacking perspective, but their defense has picked it up a little bit. Two clean sheets in a row now. So, you know, you're not going to bring anyone from Everton in just because they only have two fixtures left. You might as well look at a double game week player. But and also their defenders are not that cheap anyway. Like there's no enablers on there like there were like 10 weeks ago when you had Martina and others.
Jonjo Kenny.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think we want to talk outside of both sides of our mouths, though. We're just if we're looking at Southampton as maybe a team that could dig themselves out, they are playing Everton in game week 37. Do you worry about the clean sheet wipeout against a really hungry Southampton team?
Sure, but not enough to burn four to drop an Everton player, which I feel like is kind of what...
Okay.
Like you were saying earlier, like Mahrez, probably, even though he's got the double and their fixtures are actually not bad, probably still worth burning four to drop him because he's just not doing anything, you know? And it's like...
Can you imagine how good my life would be if Mahrez actually did something, anything, over the last month?
I know. Isn't that the worst when you almost burn four for somebody? It's like, and like it would have worked out, and then you're like still stuck with them, and you're like, I could have, like, he's like, can I just reverse time? Like, I could have just burned four and been done with it, you know? So,
yeah.
Anyway, so, all right, we got a few questions here, Brandon. Shall we get into the questions?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. Jim Payne says, and these are the big questions. I broke this up into two categories. One is the big triple captain bench boost type questions. The other category are a little more specific. So for the big questions, Jim Payne says, several options for the triple captain this game week. Who is the most worthy?
Yeah, right now my top pick would actually be Raheem Sterling.
Sterling is interesting. Over Kane, then. Yeah. You're really on the fence about this Harry Kane thing.
Well, I'll be honest. It's definitely colored by the fact that I didn't bring in Kane this week, and it's so tricky. It's past performance with Harry Kane, and even in this game today against Watford, you know, the headlines will be the chances that Harry Kane missed. Harry Kane just hasn't looked like his former self, and I'm not going to sit here and say, well, Harry Kane's not going to do it in the double. I think he's still a pretty safe triple captain bet, because if anyone's taking chances in the box, it's Harry Kane. They have great matchups. It's a double. He's looking for that golden boot. Everything you hear on any podcast or Twitter feed, that's fine. I don't disagree. But if you're looking at points potential and points ceiling, Man City has just crushed Spurs over the last month. I would look at Sterling, Sané, and Silva for triple captains on a double over
what
Harry
about Jesus?
Kane. Well, Jesus, I would put in the exact same category as Harry Kane. Jesus is 2 goals and 2 right now, but that's 2 goals and 2 with a missed penalty, and in a team that scores 5 goals and then 4 goals, that's 9 goals. Their striker only has 2 of them. Now, only having two, that's great. But if you're talking about a triple captain, I don't think that's enough when Sterling is bagging goals and hatfuls of assists.
That's interesting because I think I would actually I would push back on you a little bit there because I actually think Jesus is one of the more compelling triple captain options for the final for a couple of different reasons. I mean, one of which is that, you know, they really don't have a striker besides him because of his injury. He missed a ton of time. So it's not like he's exhausted and needs to be rested for the World Cup or anything like that. I mean, he was coming off the bench as recently as game week 33. You know, you look at Jesus' returns, you know, he actually has three goals in his last three matches and has picked up two assists in those matches as well. You know, the game where he missed the penalty, obviously that cost him bonus points, but, you know, he still picked up a goal and assist in that game. And, you know, he had these knee injuries early on in the season. You know, so he doesn't have a lot of tread on the tires. He was came off the bench as recently as game week 33. So, you know, I really think there's a chance they just ride him throughout the rest of the season. I'm actually very seriously considering Jesus as an option. I mean, okay, like there's the rotation caveat here. That applies to every single player on Manchester City. There's no, maybe David Silva is actually a player who's a little less likely to be rotated just because he went home for a week. And assuming that we find out this week that he's back with the squad, I think there's a pretty good chance he plays the final 3 weeks of the season. But other than that, I'm not really, you just can't, you know, I mean, but does the rotation thing make you, does it worry you enough to not go with someone like Sterling? I mean, it sounds like it doesn't in your case.
No. And, I mean, I don't disagree with anything you said about Jesus, but still I would point to the fact that he has only scored two. I mean, he's missed, you know, a fair amount of the season, as you mentioned, but he's only scored two braces in a high flying team like Manchester City. I'm not taking away from how good he is or his assuredness of playing time, but of the players in Manchester City, he is not scoring all the FPL points. So,
okay. What about any off the radar targets? I mean, what are you going to do with Aubameyang? Does he stay in your team?
Yeah. Aubameyang is low on my priority list. Aubameyang goes if Kane comes in. And then it's simple as that. So that's really going to be the decision that makes or breaks my season, I think, is if I can feel all of the people listening to this podcast laughing at me. Like,
well, what about Lukaku? I mean, you've got Lukaku in your squad right now, too, and he's probably
injured. Lukaku's gone. Lukaku is absolutely gone. I mean, we don't know a whole lot about his injury, but Jose Mourinho said something very cryptic after the match in terms of Rom is willing to play through minor niggles. He's never bothered by any of that, but I know when he requests treatment or requests to come off that it's serious. Now, that doesn't like mean right away that, well, it's serious. They're going to have to cut his foot off. But I'm sure right now what he has to play for, what Lukaku has to play for, is the FA Cup final and, of course, the World Cup. So going back to what I was saying about Jesus, is there, the returns that Lukaku was giving me is crap. You know, it's his standard one goal a game at best. So I don't need him. He's surplus to requirements. He's almost definitely making way for Jesus at this point. So Lukaku to Jesus for me is pretty much a done deal. The question then is it worth Aubameyang to Kane? And I think that's a really, for me, it's really tricky given that I'm considering burning a lot of points elsewhere in my squad. You want to talk about other triple captain options? It's a long shot, but Christian Eriksen, I think, is an interesting candidate. I mean, he doesn't score. He scores at best as many goals as a Lukaku or a Jesus. So, you know, you could throw my argument back in my face, but he's on so many set pieces.
What about a Van Lapara or a Wes Morgan? Are these names that you're not thinking about?
Trust me. I've thought about Wes Morgan. I've thought about all the things I would do to Wes Morgan if I was alone with him in a room.
What about Hogg? I mean, are you considering Hogg?
Big time Hogg.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely options. I mean, Hogg more than anyone, sure. Yeah. But, you know, lots of different
options. We don't need to belabor the triple captain point, right? It's either Kane or your pick of Man City options.
Yeah, I okay, yes. To a degree, but I mean, if we want to be if I were in, you know, fifth place in my mini league right now, and I really wanted to be different, and let's say I was like 30 points back or something like that, you know, with 2 weeks to go and I had a triple captainship, I would very seriously consider someone like Aubameyang. And there's got to be listeners of this podcast right now who are in that position where they just can't go with any of the you almost want, if you really want to come back, you almost want to pick a player that no one's even going to have in their team, you know? And so Aubameyang is a player who if you're in fifth place, there's a good chance that teams 1 through 4 don't even have Aubameyang in their squad, right? Or they're planning to drop him, you know, to bring in someone like Kane this week, or they already did that. So, you know, to me, he really stands out. I think the Eriksen option is really interesting, too. I don't think there's really anyone else in Man United I consider. I mean, you know, Alexis Sanchez is just too scary of a prospect. You know, you just never know what you're going to get from him. You know, and there's really no one on Man United, including their defender. They've just given up too many sloppy goals late to consider a cheeky, you know, David De Gea captain.
Brandon flashes like back to the moment where Lukaku puts a peach of a cross to Alexis Sanchez. Narrative already written. Alexis Sanchez scores against former team Arsenal. Hector Bellerin with one of, that's got to be like top 10 goal clearances, reactionary goal clearances you've seen. I mean, at least in the last 10 years.
Yeah,
totally robs me of my
his Barcelona audition tape.
My cheeky captain punt on Lukaku. I could have slept that night if I had gotten an assist from Lukaku.
That was. I felt bad for you when I saw he got subbed. I felt bad for you. I was actually at my daughter's soccer practice when that was happening, but I did watch the highlights later. That was painful,
brutal.
All right, so some more questions here. Frankie the Gent says, I have triple captain and bench boost left, and I currently have 12 double game weekers. What's my best two-week strategy? To me, the answer is easy, Brandon.
I agree. I think we're going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah, which is you've got a bench boost in game week 37, and then you triple captain Mo Salah in game week 38.
Yep, easy peasy.
Right? I mean, the only – you could look at, you know, Harry Kane – home to Leicester in 38 is also a very reasonable triple captain option. But I think Mo Salah is the pick there.
Yeah, at home to Brighton for Salah in 38, it's going to be Salah party.
Yeah, the only caveat there is if Brighton somehow gets, you know, dragged back into the relegation fight, that could be a game where Brighton need like a point to stay up, you know, and if that were the case, I might change things a little bit, but as it stands right now, I mean, they're 5 points clear, so and they have a double game week fixture as well. So yeah, we haven't talked about all the Brighton players you could triple captain, Brandon. I mean, there's just it's a shame this is only a 5 hour podcast because we could really go through a lot of different options here.
Hey, do we have any more questions?
Jabron Chata says, Kane is prime for an armband avalanche and is a high ceiling for game weeks 37, but are we missing a trick by not backing Sterling for captaincy instead? Brandon, this is why I should read the running order before we start to talk about this stuff. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, I think Sterling, very reasonable. He's in my top three that I'm considering for my captaincy. I think Sterling, Jesus, and Kane are the three that I'm kicking around right now.
He's just such a compelling player, Raheem Sterling. Throughout the entire season,
his ability to create space for himself is amazing.
Okay, and, there is creating space, and then there's what we saw against West Ham, in which they were doing some avant-garde style, like, we're just not going to play defense, whatever they were doing. But Sterling, I do agree. He finds himself in so much space all the time, and his ability to put the cross in, he's missed a fair amount of finishes, but
that's just part of Salah's missed a lot too. I mean, you know, part of, it's like, you know, you can say like, oh, well, he creates a lot, he has a lot of space because, You know, because Man City is so talented and they draw a lot of defensive attention, but not everyone can do that. You know, like not everyone has his like has the kind of speed and anticipation to create that. I mean, the amount of times when he is like 3 feet in front of goal and there's no defender within like 2 feet of him.
Have you seen how many times have you seen Romelu Lukaku in that position this season?
Blow it like get the ball and kick it like right into the goalkeeper's hands.
Your point is that it's hard to find that kind of space, and I think that's what Lukaku struggles with, is his ability to find that space. Yeah, service hasn't been all that great to him this season, but he's just standing on the last defender and letting the game come to him.
He's just a guy standing in front of a goal asking it to let him score. And all right, so Richie says has heard a good option / differential for the last two game weeks. Oh God, we haven't even talked about him, have we?
I'm starting to like
my stomach's hurting just thinking about him, thinking about how much I hate him. Not on a personal level. He seems like an interesting guy, kind of smart actually. But just what he does as a fantasy player, just I mean, Chelsea home to Liverpool, home to Huddersfield. Liverpool probably concede a goal or two in this game. Huddersfield will almost certainly concede a couple of goals. Let's say there's 5 goals total across those two home fixtures for Chelsea in game week 37. You got to figure Hazard's going to score one and assist one at the very least, right? So you're looking at, you know, possibly 12 or 13 points right there.
It's possible. People have tried
it's
to
a big
predict.
Jump, maybe.
People have tried to predict what Hazard is going to do for a long time.
Right.
And I would much rather, if you're going to go Chelsea, I would much rather go Chelsea defense.
Yeah, although they've been so disappointing until that Swansea match. I mean, it was crazy that was the game when they finally put a team that really needed it, that they just couldn't score.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, yeah, and this Liverpool-Chelsea game, I think that turn happens when Chelsea says they could actually make the top four. Right. It's an oddly motivated team. I think it's going to – I'm excited for this Chelsea-Liverpool game.
Yeah, well, they really can't do it, can they? I mean, they're, what, 6 back of Liverpool, 5 back of Spurs, but both teams have games in hand. I don't know that Chelsea can do it, but I guess you're right. It's still close enough that they could maybe do it. It's still in the realm of possibility.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's within the realm of possibility. Interesting. I mean, if they beat Liverpool and then win their and then they have a game in hand, Chelsea that is, they could be tied on points with Liverpool going into the last. Well,
yeah, that's true. It's 20 goal difference, though. I mean, they're never going to make that up.
Yeah.
All right. Next question comes from Deidre Kane. She says, best defenders for the remaining games if money is no object. God, can you imagine a world, Brandon, where money was no? It sounds like heaven to me. City and Spurs fixtures look great. Snobbery would be over. It, you know, just be a whole different world, Brandon.
Absolutely.
City and Spurs fixtures look great, but is rotation an issue?
There'd still be snobbery, though, based on which defenders you brought in for your final stretch.
No, I just mean the world, the world itself, man.
Yeah,
all the people. No, go on, Brendan. Sorry,
I'm going to take a pass on Manchester City defense because you just need to be heavily invested in their attacking assets, and of all the rotation threats, I think we've seen their defense is really subject recently. So for me, the defenders are Vertonghen and Davinson Sanchez, top of my list.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Smalling, he's survived that weird rotation in Manchester United's back line.
Yeah, I love Smalling. Yeah, Smalling to me is the like the premium defender I would most want to bring in if I were bringing in a premium defender.
Yeah. And Chelsea, I think they have the double and they have pretty decent fixtures, and Cesar Azpilicueta, money is no object pick.
Yeah. Yeah. I had Azpilicueta for the last double and, I was pretty disappointed in my returns. I have to not let recency bias affect me a little bit there. It's hard for me to root for, first of all, they're going to concede a goal to Liverpool for sure. But that Huddersfield game is probably a clean sheet. So. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think you're looking at least one clean sheet in those two matches. Yeah, I think, I agree with you. I'd stay away from all the Man City players. too many rotation risks, and Kyle Walker's a little too expensive.
Maybe Oda Mendy, if he's, because he's back, and
maybe
he's missed a fair amount of games. But you know, Oda Mendy put in some horrendous tackles against West Ham, and
I think
he looked bad.
Yeah, I mean, lower down the rung, I mean, there's no one. I actually have Mustafi, and I'm going to roll with him, but God knows if he's even going to play. You know, it's kind of, you know, we'll see what happens there. Obviously, you know, Leicester, I actually have a lot of my double game week defenders are players that looked a lot better like 5 weeks ago. You know, I've got Ben Chilwell as well, and, you know, we'll see if I can get a clean sheet, maybe in that West Ham game. Yeah, Newcastle, I mean, they're away in both their fixtures. They're as we said before, they're on the beach, so I'd be worried about them. Maybe someone like LaSalle's, just if you needed money, you know, if you needed, like, an enabler.
Yeah.
And then Spurs and Southampton, that's kind of another stay away, right? Just two away fixtures, and I think they'll concede goals in both those games.
I'd be interested in a Bertrand from Southampton. Again, money, no object.
Right.
A double with Everton and Swansea from a hungry Southampton. If you pick an assist and a clean sheet out of those two matches, I think that's very feasible for a guy like Ryan Bertrand. So it's an interesting outside shot.
All right. Last question in this section. Bales 00 says, what to do with Willian?
Can you remind me who Willian is, Joshua?
Willian is a very disappointing player that a lot of people have had in their squad for a long time because of his affordability.
Yeah.
And a player who did not play in a plum Swansea fixture. That should have been his goal, not Fabregas's goal.
Yeah. If Bales 00, if you do not have any of these great players that we have been talking about earlier in your midfield, dump Willian. I don't.
I mean 2-2-4-0-1 in his last five matches. You know, you're not getting great returns from Willian right now. He's just not he's an enabler type. I mean, like an enabler. Like, I mean, like on the pitch itself. Like he you know, is capable of some free kick goals, and he can certainly, you know, he has these amazing games where he pulls it all together and gets like 15 points. But, you know, in general, he's just not really. He's sort of facilitating the attack. He's not like the primary goal scorer.
Yeah, I'd so much rather have a guy like Arnautovic than Willian. I mean, even though
totally yes, out of position forward.
Yeah, right. And somebody who's shown consistency in attacking returns FPL wise.
Yeah, I actually like, you know, Arnautovic is not a bad shout for the, I know he's blanked the last two, but, you know, away to Leicester, that first fixture for him in particular, I really like him for that game. And his ownership is also crazy low, like. For a guy who gets talked about as much as he gets talked about in the sort of, you know, social media sphere for the fantasy game, I think he's still, let me just pull him up here. I think he's, his ownership is 6.3%, right? Like, nobody has him. So he's definitely a player to look at if you're looking for kind of a under the radar player who might bring some big returns, you know. And the even their more difficult game with Man United is a home match for them, so certainly a chance. I mean, he was threatening in the last couple as well, and just didn't quite do it.
Yeah, if a guy like Mkhitaryan coming back from a blown out knee can score, can just roll the ball into the net, then why not Arnautovic?
All right, Brad, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to lightning round some listener dilemmas.
Dilemmas, I have a few. Let's go. Same old podcast,
always cheating. And we're back, listener dilemmas. All right, you want to read off the first one here, Brennan?
First dilemma comes from Josh Clem, who says, tips on fending off mini league rivals. Take 1-2 hits to match potential big haulers, e.g. Jesus Sterling. So Josh is suggesting he doesn't have guys like Jesus Sterling. Should he take hits just to cover his mini league rival?
Yes. I mean, if you can get Jesus and Sterling with on a minus four, you have to do that. That is absolutely the only move you should be making this week. Because if you're in first place and you don't have those two players, then the rest of your squad must be pretty solid. So I would definitely do that.
Yeah, I agree. It's all about if you're in the lead, it's all about consolidating. And if you're behind, it's all about just playing freaky mind games.
Yeah, exactly. God, you really do sound like me this week. Michael Heinberg says, are there any essential defenders worth 5 to 6 million? Essential, I think we, is the pivot point here.
Yeah. I mean, essential defenders, I just don't believe there are any truly essential defenders.
Yeah. One Man United defender, maybe, right? Maybe one. Just
sure, De Gea, yeah. Or Smalling. If you don't have David De Gea, then for sure. Spurs have been so problematic throughout the entire season, but I just have a good feeling about Spurs in 37 and 38. I think that would be where I would look if you're looking for a top tier clean sheet shout with Vertonghen or Sanchez.
Eric Medbo, longtime listener and a Patreon supporter, says, which of these players are worth a hit to replace? All right, ready, Brian? I'm just going to do this rapid fire. You just say yes or no. Don't even give me an explanation. Okay?
Yep.
Mahrez.
Yes.
Willian.
Yes.
Murray.
Yes.
Barnes.
Yes.
Gross.
Yes.
That's a minus 20, Brandon. My God.
Let's go. Let's do this.
Let's do this. All right, Eric. It's like having a wild card, except it's going to cost you a ton of points. Yeah,
it's going to cost you. I mean, the only one there that maybe you ride with is Pascal Gross, just on the fact that I don't see a lot of like-for-like replacements for him. At $6 million, I think he costs. There's going to
be Ashley Bucky Barnes. No interest.
No, in don't him. We have a we? I think we have a question about. We had a question from Tom Campbell on Twitter. Actually, asked how many Burnley players are too many Burnley players at this stage? I have three, and I'm looking to get rid of them. Them not having a double. I'm just sort of the romance is over with Burnley at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can bench Ashley Barnes, if you can bench him and save him for game week 38 at home against a terrible Bournemouth defense, then that's intriguing. Well,
here's the thing about Barnes, though, I will say is, first of all, Arsenal could definitely concede, especially, you know, they play on Thursday, you know, and so it's a pretty short turnaround for that Burnley fixture. I'm not sure there's a cheap third striker that's worth burning four for. I'm not even sure this is a question that anybody asked us, but I mean, you know, just looking through all of the doubles, I mean, you know, the candidates we're looking at are, you know, you got Brighton, who play Man United and City, so that's totally off the table. Huddersfield, also really bad.
What about Jordan Ayew?
So Jordan Ayew is the only contender, but I just don't know that I completely trust him to even get. You know, let's say that Barnes just gets, he just blanks, right? So you're going to need 6 points across two fixtures from Ayew.
Yeah.
I'm not, that's just a break even. I'm not 100% sure you're going to get that. I mean, I could see him blanking in both those fixtures. He's just not that good.
That's fair. I will not argue with that. Were you going to suggest Marcus Rashford?
Well, just, I'm going to throw it out there as a possible, you know, it just depends on where Lukaku is, what we find out. But, I mean, we think Rashford probably starts, right, if Lukaku doesn't play.
Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah, so talk about under the radar, you know, 7.3 million, so he's not, you'd have to find some money. It's not like it's not a super easy swap. That's about 2 million more than Barnes. But, you know, 6.4% ownership, you know, hasn't scored since game week 30. So it's been a while, but, you know, it's a real change. I mean, he basically slotted right in, you know, when Lukaku was out, so.
Yeah, and then he didn't score. And Man United's attack is just a little too dysfunctional for me to want to try and maneuver to play that attack when you could be saving more money. I'd rather either keep dead weight like Ashley Barnes and bench him and put that money into your midfield or into Harry Kane.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to find more money just to play Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, I would stay away from Jose Perez. Okay, actually, you know, one thing we didn't talk about earlier, this is more of a mid-tier striker, but even though I think it's worthwhile to drop Mahrez, I would not be dropping Vardy for four if you were on my team.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, the double is very compelling when it comes to him. And if,
right.
Yeah.
8-12 from Vardy, 17 goals in the season, fairly affordable at 8.9 million, although a little pricier than you'd want maybe for that team kind of being on the beach already. I don't know that I wouldn't transfer in Vardy, but I would not be taking him out either if he was on my team.
Well, what if you're, okay, let me, hypothetical situation. If you have Vardy up front and Pascal Gross, but you don't have a Man City midfielder.
Right. So Vardy to IU, Gross to Sterling. Is that the move? Yeah, that's I don't know. I mean, it's I think it's kind of close, you know? I mean, Vardy's home for both of those matches. You know, I mean, I just dropping Vardy before two home matches. I just think that's very risky. I mean, they're going to score. They're going to score in that West Ham game for sure. And they're probably going to score in that Arsenal game as well. So, but Mahrez, I mean, you know, it's just the way that team's working right now. I mean, I've watched a fair number of Leicester games for someone who's just kind of a I like Leicester, you know, but the way that they've
been, one doubted that.
Right. But the way they've been working people in and out of that squad, I mean, it's not clear who the primary provider is right now. You know, it feels like it's really been they've mixed up and weird substitution patterns of players play 55 minutes. And
All right. Next question comes from Stig Hagen. With Jesus and Sterling in the squad, who should be the third City player? Is it KDB, David Silva or Sané or other? So this, I think, is the million-dollar question going into the double is who is the differential Manchester City midfielder that's going to pay off? Is it De Bruyne, the sometimes deep-lying playmaker? Mm-hmm. Is it David Silva, the when he plays, he's fire? Or is it Sané, who is when he plays, he's occasionally fire?
I think it's Silva, assuming that Silva is back with the team. You know, I don't know if he's just out for the rest of the season or if it was just a 1 week rest. It's probably City fans who are screaming at me right now who know this.
Well, he's
I'm just not sure what the deal is there.
He's almost sure to play in that Brighton match because that's the match in which they'll have the trophy ceremony because it's the last home match for them of the season. So I think they'll roll out all the classics. For that match.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. So in that case, I like him the best. He's also I think he's the cheapest, right?
Yeah, he's 8.3 compared to Sterling, who's I think at
9.
9.1, I think, when this he's due to rise while we're recording here.
Okay.
So I think
7.1. Sané's 8.6, so you know, and you could put Silva's returns up there with both those guys. I mean, 9 goals and 11 assists on the season. You know, Sané's on 10 and 12, so, you know, pretty comparable returns there.
You want to say it's a true gamble picking between any of these three players, and I think that's why David Silva comes ahead is because he's been the most consistent player in terms of returns when he plays.
Yeah. I may actually only have two players from City in the end, just the way my team is shaping up. There's a chance that I bring in someone like... Wait, so what's the deal with Kyle Walker? Is he actually, like, is he out for sure? I know there was some debate about this earlier. I probably would just stay away. And, you know, Danilo, I just don't trust. I don't think Pep trusts Danilo. And so the idea that Danilo is going to play two games in a row in any game week is just laughable. Yeah. And then I'm looking at Otamendi, who I've been down that road before, and I just I don't see it. So
I think with the World Cup coming up, Kyle Walker is not going to risk a groin injury. So even if it's not that serious, I would assume he plays it at one of the games in the double at most.
Yeah. All right, a couple more questions to go. Podweller says, thoughts on Sanchez? I think we both feel the same way.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. It's even though game week 37 is where you need to, a lot of us need to take a risk. That's a risk too far. It's too much money.
Yeah, exactly. That could just blow up in your face and screw up your whole team structure at the same time.
He really hasn't done anything to warrant it either.
No. We'll see about next year. You know, next year I think he could really be a big part of that team. I mean, you know, he's going to play like every minute next year, and he'll have the whole summer to integrate with Lukaku and Pogba. Kevin Ryan says, Salah and Firmino out for Sterling and Jesus. Seems a no-brainer with some risk of rotation and will block a mini-league rival. Now, we haven't talked about Salah very much in this podcast. I don't really like dropping him. But I would not drop Salah without a plan to bring him back for game week 38.
If they had a tough, weird away fixture in game week 38, I think I'd drop Salah in a heartbeat at this point. But with a tantalizing home fixture and lots of records yet to be set, I think you I wouldn't have the nerve to drop him.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, let's see how this game match goes at midweek. Let's see.
Well, okay. So here's the question that Kevin is actually asking, though. Are you willing to forsake returns in game week 38 just to block your rival in 37 and win?
No, what I'm saying...
Win your mini league.
What I'm saying is you... Okay, you're right. I mean, in this particular situation, it's maybe a little bit different. In fact, I actually think it still might be the right move. I mean, how many points are you possibly going to get from Salah in game week? I don't know. I mean, it's tricky. As long as you don't mind burning four to bring Salah back in game week 38, I mean, if you're up 20 points in game week 38, you might as well
drop four. Hokey cokey with Salah and Sterling. That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, because I think that there's a way to make those moves that doesn't gobble up all of... And the problem is, you know, Salah is the most expensive midfielder, maybe next to... Actually, he's like third,
Sanchez.
Right? Sanchez and Hazard, possibly.
Yeah.
Maybe Salah is more expensive than Hazard now. But if you were to make those moves and you left enough money to bring Salah in without burning points, let's say you went Salah to Sterling and you just left 1.5 million in your bank or whatever, or maybe you know, every other move you made, you also freed up off enough money that you could just make one move back to Salah.
Yeah.
Then I think that would work out. I think that would be okay.
Right, yeah, and maybe you're overthinking it to try and block both Sterling and Jesus. Maybe you block Sterling and then come up with a differential to cover Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would like to have a third. I've at least thought about that, the Sal idea. I would like to have a third City midfielder, possibly just for coverage, because I'm concerned about not all of them starting every match. But some combination of all these great players will play in all of these, you know? And so it's like, I just want a finger in a lot of those goals, you know, or whatever.
Okay.
That sounded gross. I always get a little gross at the end of these podcasts.
Absolutely. A little Pascal gross.
Swansea defenders or attackers for game week 37. That's from Bilal Faraday.
Yeah, I think I might, based on what we were saying about Jordan Ayew, which I think he's the pick for attackers, he's cheap, but I do share your concern, Josh, that Swansea's not great in attack, and they're not guaranteed attacking output by any means, even though they're fighting for survival. So, Danny, if you're listening, you'll appreciate this. I think Alfie Mawson is the way to go if you can't afford Mawson. Kyle Naughton.
Yeah.
I think they're going to stave off relegation first with the defense. And I'd prefer to go that route.
One last question, Brandon, comes from Sedant, longtime question asker on the podcast. He says, suggestions for some under 7.5 million midfielders for game week 37, even non-double game week players will do. He just loves cheap midfielders. He just loves them.
He loves to bring them all in.
Bring them all in.
We already talked about Arnautovic. I think he's the one. Zaha, I just really need to come to personal terms with Wilfred Zaha. I have a lot of angst toward him.
Mm-hmm. I don't really understand why. Is it because he dives too much or something, or what is?
I watch Zaha and
you see everything you could have been.
I see a guy who's playing out of control and he doesn't really have much of a game plan. I think he works on Crystal Palace because he's given the ball and there's no real system that he has to play within.
Yeah. I think we talked about maybe the best one already, which is Arnautovic.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't seem like a differential, but he really is. He's just not a highly owned player. And they've got a double and they've got a lot to play for.
They do. Yeah. I mean, who else could you recommend? I think it's
Dusan Tadic.
See, all right, this let Dusan be the last thing we talk about. I think it's a fitting sort of reflection of this season as a whole, is the going in the most important game week of the season. We talk about Dusan Tadic as the last player.
What about Gundogan, maybe? He's played a lot.
He has, yeah. He has played a lot.
I'd be worried about him starting both games.
Yeah, I wonder if Yaya Toure gets a start. Yeah, is exactly, he is exactly. he start worthy at this point?
37 or 38, he probably will. You're not going to get three starts out of Gundogan if you bring him in.
Yeah, maybe Yaya starts the Huddersfield match.
Ramsey is a risky option, but the second leg will be over by the time this weekend starts.
Hey,
he is at least a contender. I know he hasn't played a ton, but that actually means he's got a lot of. His legs will be pretty fresh. You know, he just hasn't played that much. I mean, he's only played, what, three fixtures in the last 10 game weeks?
So. Yeah. I mean, Mkhitaryan is back. He did come off with a knock, but this dude is priced at $7.7 million, and he's back playing for Arsenal with the doubles. Curious to see what happens with him in the Atletico Madrid game on Thursday if he travels and plays. But that is an interesting differential for the double if he's fit and ready.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, we've already seen two double-figure returns from him since he joined Arsenal in game week 26 and game week 30. It seems like so long ago. I actually had him in my squad for both of those. In my head, I'm like the whole Mkhitaryan thing was like a huge disappointment, but it was really just that the injury was so ill-timed. But, you know, I wonder if we all kind of dodged a bullet. I mean, in hindsight, because Wenger just wasn't playing any of his good players in the Premier League matches. And so it might've just been a lot of frustration to have him in your team.
Yeah. I mean, you can't mention Dusan Tadic without mentioning Jesse Lingard in this conversation. $6 million, just the double on the cards.
Yeah, I mean, when we get to this part of the podcast, we should just end it, right? So this has been your podcast. This has been your weekly Tadic cast. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to play our World Cup game, if you'd like to join the Slack, which is really taken on new life. Maybe it's all the new members that we've added the last week or so. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. You can also subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. If you just want to do something nice this week, you could go into iTunes and give us a 5-star review and even write a couple words if you are so inclined to do so. That actually really helps us a lot and helps us to get found by more people and just to continue to grow the podcast, which is always kind of the goal. So
absolutely.
Where else can people find us, Brandon?
Sure. Follow us on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/alwayscheating, twitter.com/hailcheaters, where we're tweeting a lot live during games. And Josh, you run a very helpful advice shop on Twitter occasionally, so look out for that.
Once or twice a week.
Facebook.com/alwayscheating, or just go to alwayscheating.com for all your Always Cheating needs. We've got links to our Patreon page, all of our podcast feeds, and social media handles, the like. So we look forward to seeing you across the World Wide Web for all the FPL talk.
Brandon, you said it. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck. I know that a lot of you are just really coming down the stretch run with the FPL season. You're ready to be done. And thank you so much for listening and sticking with us throughout the whole season. Even if you're taking the World Cup off, we hope to see you again this fall. So we'll be back with a podcast for Game Week 38, and then we'll do a little wrap-up after Game Week 38 is over, too. I think for that podcast, we're going to do suggestions for what you'd want to see change for next year. So chips and bonus point system and team structure, anything you want to see different in the game next year, you can ask us about in that podcast. And
that's your homework assignment.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Josh, good luck in the double. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too, man. All right, see you later.
Hail Lord Tadic.
Hail Lord Arnautovic.
Hail Poku.
Hail Cheaters.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.